He's a good God. Yeah, he never changes. Hallelujah. We change, he changes not, the word says. Hallelujah. I just want to share a word of testimony of what God has done this last week for me. I think this last week I've probably travelled about close to 1,000 miles this last week. Even my back even told me today or yesterday that it just felt like I'd driven 1,000 miles, and I had driven basically. And I've not done a massive amount of driving, I would say, during the week on the main roads for quite some time. And I didn't realise quite how busy the roads were. You know, I mean, I know what it's like around Doncaster, but you know, when you get on these motorways, and I mean, the traffic is absolutely horrendous. I used to say, I enjoy driving. I love driving. I'm having second thoughts at the moment on it. I thank God for your prayers as I've been travelling this week. One was I took Darby back to the airport on whatever day that was, to Manchester. I've lost track of all the days. I've lost track of just about nearly where I've been. But on Wednesday morning, I didn't lose track of Wednesday morning. I was up at 4:30. So I remember Wednesday well. And we had a tremendous journey to Newcastle. It was an easy journey. We arrived early. Traffic was easy, and I thank God for that. And I dropped the bishop off, left him at the railway, at the bus station, the airport. That's where I left him. Where did I leave him? Yeah. I left him somewhere anyway. I left him at the airport, and set off back. And as I was coming back onto the motorway, I'd only been back on the motorway on the A1 for about 5-10 minutes. It was still dark, believe it or not. And probably doing about 60 mile an hour, and there was traffic in both lanes. Came over the brow of this hill, and all of a sudden the traffic in front of me was coming to a grinding halt. Now, as many of you know, I drive a Volvo Estate, ABS braking, it's got everything it needs, you know. And I hit the brakes fairly hard. Well, the ABS didn't keep coming, so there was no chance of skidding. So I was braking, but I knew I was braking heavy. And I'm seeing these cars coming towards me. And as I braked, I've been taking this advanced riding course on a motorbike, as you know. I looked in my rear mirror. And as I looked in the rear mirror, there is this car coming up behind me over the top of the hill. And he is not going to stop. At the speed he was going, I knew immediately that he had no chance of stopping. I had basically nowhere to go because there was a people carrier in front of me. And so basically what I did, I squeezed into the left-hand side of the white line. I squeezed up against the cars next to me to some degree, took my foot off the clutch and kept my foot on the brake. I looked in my mirror again, and he's gone. And in all this that was happening, I just shouted, Jesus Christ. You know, I just called on the name of the Lord. And the next thing, this car came careering down the right-hand side of me. There was, I don't know how much room there was, but obviously there must have been just enough room. Somehow, God had squeezed a few extra inches in there, widened the thing. And this car, a Volvo and a Volkswagen Passat will make a mess. The two hard-built cars, basic, and there was going to be a mess, and there was going to be a front and a rear, definitely for me. And he came down, and this is how bad it was. His rear passenger door, passed my front door before he stopped. And I went, praise God. My heart jumped. And then he puts the car in reverse. And I'm thinking, where's he going now? And you know, within half a mile at the next turn off, this guy got off the motorway. Now, I don't know whether he got off to change his pants or what. But I just thank God for every one of you that prayed for us for that day, for Travelling Mercies. God hears and answers prayer. You know, and God can... What the enemy would see to cause to be a disaster, and that would have been a multiple pile-up. You know, but God was there and protecting and covering us, you know, and I just thank God for that. And I praise God for that. Do you know why? And do you know why? We came out of that one situation good, because I have a destiny. And I know I'm going to fulfill my destiny in God. And no matter what the devil plans to do against me, God is on my side, and God is seeking to do me good, and God is seeking to bless me, that I will fulfill the covenant destiny that God has given to me. And I praise God for that, and I thank God for that. Yeah, can you just hold on, because there's one other thing I want to do before and one day I'm going to teach on this. I know Bishop has sort of given a little bit of teaching at times, and I'm just going to bring, I need a pen a second. Can you just borrow a pen? Thank you. And I'm just going to say before the Lord, I want to bring a thank offering. It's scriptural, it's biblical. And I want to bring a thank offering before my Lord today. This is not my offering, normal offering. This is to say thank you to God. Because on Wednesday, it brought me to a greater reality of the protection that is over my life, and the fact that God answers prayer of the saints. And what the enemy sought for evil, God will bring it to pass for good. So I just want to bring my thank offering to the Lord. And just say, Father, I thank you for all that you've done for me, and for the blessings you've given to me. And I just want to praise him. Amen.
Good morning. I was sat having my time with the Lord, and I was just praising him and just thanking him for what he's done in my life and what he's going to do in my life. Immediately he said, the choice is mine. As I choose to live in his presence, I will live in the fullness of the victory that Jesus gave. And that's just not given to me, it's given to each and every one of us.
That encourages me and encouraging all of us. And ain't God good?
Wonderful.
Amen. His mercy is enduring forever. I thought I had something brewing in my spirit back on Monday, but I was wrong. On Friday, I was saying, well, God, I know I said I'd speak this Sunday if I was ready. And there's always Andrew if I'm not. But perhaps I ought to start by saying, have you got anything that you want me to speak about? And I opened my Bible and I turned straight to Daniel chapter 1. And it hit my spirit and I thought, this is God. So let's go. Daniel chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 1. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that your word is power. And Lord, we choose to listen to your word this afternoon. And I say, Father, let your word be sown into good ground today. Let your words, Father, take root and bring forth a harvest in our hearts. And Father, what isn't of you, just let it fall by the wayside and go. But Lord, let your words remain in Jesus' name. Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim, we know that the third year is number 3, important to God. It's God's divine perfection. And so it was God's plan that in the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim of Judah, that Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Now, if you remember last time I spoke on Habakkuk, and God was already, he was forewarning them in that book that Nebuchadnezzar was going to come and he was going to take them captive, and he was going to take them away from their own land. He was preparing them for it. And what we got out of that was, we're not exempt from trouble. Sometimes it is God's plan to take us a way that we don't understand. And we, Ken read today in Isaiah 55, his ways are higher than our ways. And so we need to learn to defer to God and say, all right, God, you're in control. You know what you're doing. I don't understand, but that doesn't mean that it's wrong. God knows what he's doing. The Lord let King Jehoiakim of Judah fall into Nebuchadnezzar's power, as well as some of the vessels of the house of God. These he brought to the land of Shinar and placed the vessels in the treasury of his gods. How offensive that must be to God to see his vessels dedicated to him in the house of pagan gods. Verse 3. Then the king commanded his palace master, Ashpenaz, to bring some of the Israelites of the royal family and of the nobility, young men without physical defect and handsome, versed in every branch of wisdom, endowed with knowledge and insight, and competent to serve in the king's palace. And you know what I got out of that? That's what we are in Christ. We're of the royal family. We're of nobility. We are young. We're all the same age as Jesus. There's no age in God, is there? There's no inability in God. There's no restrictions in God. We're all handsome. We're all good looking. And we're all perfect. We don't have defects. In Christ Jesus, we're every one of us perfect. And you know, we need to look at who we are in the spiritual man and stop looking at who we are in the physical man and being inadequate. The king assigned, they were taught, these members of the royal family and the nobility, they were to be taught the literature and language of the Chaldeans. And that was strange, you know. It actually says in one rendering that they were indoctrinated with the Babylonian language, the law of magic, and fortune telling. Now, how far apart can that be from what God teaches? But, you know, this happened. And it seemed, God, why would you choose this means of... Well, why would you choose such a path for your children and for the sacred vessels? But we don't question God. God knows what he's doing. He had a purpose in all of this. The king assigned them a daily portion of the royal rations of food and wine. They were to be educated for 3 years. And at the end of that time, they could be stationed in the king's court. Among them were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah. You know, names are important. I will just mention this here. I know you can't do anything about what your parents called you. And you know, that's why in the early church, when they got baptised in water, they would take new names. Because some of their names were pagan and did nothing for them. And so when they got baptised, they renamed them with Christian names. Names that meant good things. Names that portrayed the power and the attributes of God. And I want to I give testimony here that I'm glad God had a purpose in calling me Grace. And you know, as your name is spoken, think about it, as your name is constantly spoken over you, the attributes of that name are being manifest in your life. They're being projected onto you. And so that's really important for parents to give their children good, positive names. And I really believe it's the fact that I was called Grace and that God's grace was spoken over me for so many times and for so many years that when I got into the troublesome teens, God delivered me. He had a plan for me. And I had a plan of my own. And God said, you're not going that way. And you know, he's amazing. He has people in the right place at the right time. And Grace said she was going to do this. She was going nursing. She was going to do her own thing. She was going to live life to the full. And God says, are you now? Well, I've got somebody, and they call him Andrew, and I've had him ordained from the foundation of the world, and he's coming across your path right at this point, because you're not going where you think you're going. You're mine. I've chosen you. I've called you. I'm with you, and this is my plan for this appointed time. Yeah, you didn't spoil my party, you made my party, although I didn't understand it at the time. God has a plan. And Daniel, his name, means God is judge. They are Daniel? God is judge. Hananiah, his name, meant God is gracious. Mishael, his name means who is what God is. Well, under that covenant, they weren't. But we know now who is what God is. We are. Azariah, God is my keeper. He is our keeper. And there's many more attributes of God. So names are really, really important. We'll go to verse 7. They were from the tribe of Judah, and Judah actually means praise. The palace master gave them other names. Daniel he called Belshazzar, and that means the Lord's leader. So true. He was speaking his future into being. Hananiah he called Shadrach. Mishael he called Meshach. And Azariah he called Abednego. We don't have any meanings for those. They were just Babylonian names. It probably didn't mean a lot of good anyway. But God had a plan. Praise God. But Daniel resolved. Now listen to this, verse 8. Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the royal rations of food and wine. Daniel had made a decision. He was not going to eat the food, and he was not going to drink the wine of Babylon. He knew better. And I took that as he chose a different diet. This was his attitude in adversity. His attitude was not to take on the Babylonian attitude, but he was going to take on God's attitude. He was going to eat God's food. He was not going to eat Babylonian food. And you know, so often, well, the temptation when we get into a trial situation is, am I going to react naturally or am I going to react spiritually? Geraldine said, God said to her last week, the choice is yours. If we want good things to come to us, if we want a good outcome, then if we want, we choose God's way. And Daniel chose God's, he chose to have God's attitude. And there were some things that came across my mind here. He didn't get into fear. It's very easy when you're in a troublesome situation, in an adverse situation, to go into fear. That's what the devil wants to do. And do you know why he wants to do it? Why do you think the devil wants to make you afraid, Luke? Has anybody got an idea why the devil wants to make you afraid? It's his weapon. It's his power source. If he can get you afraid, it'll do for him what faith will do for God. So, the first thing the devil wants to do is make you afraid, because that's his power source. He can work against you now. He's got all the power he needs to work. But Daniel's attitude was one of faith. He chose to look at God and to have God as his power source. You know, whenever another thing that the devil likes to do is to keep you looking at the problem. Because while ever you're looking at the problem, don't go to sleep on me, Louise, it's not that boring. While ever you look at the problem, you'll go down and down and down and down. If you look at God, He'll take you up into heavenly places, and he'll take you right out of it, and you'll know that he's in charge and not you. Amen. The devil wants you to be negative. He wants you to blame God. He wants you to say, it's unjust what God's done to me. We've sung today, God of justice. He's without injustice. His ways are perfect. All his ways are just. Amen. Daniel was positive. He trusted God. He didn't act like a victim. He didn't have a slave mentality. He didn't have a cowering in a corner mentality. Que sera, sera, what will be, will be. No. No, Daniel was like the victor. He was determined. He knew he was on the conquering side. He acted like a victor, not a victim. He didn't have resentment. He didn't hate his captors. He forgave his captors. He didn't withdraw. He didn't go and hide in a corner and not cooperate. He reached out with forgiveness and with love. He didn't go into self-pity. Why me? Why me? God, why me? That was not his way. His way was, he had hope. I guess he felt sorry for his captors, you know, because they didn't know what he knew. They thought they were in control, but he knew they weren't. He didn't go into depression. He was full of joy and praise to God. He didn't go into anger. And he could have been angry. He got out, God had brought him out of the comfort zone, being made very uncomfortable. Can you imagine what it's like? I can't. Father can. To be taken out of your own country and dragged off into another one and made to live there. Kept prisoner. It beggars belief, but he didn't go into negativity. He was very positive. He didn't get into anger. He showed love and peace. He didn't get frustrated with his situation. A lot of us get frustrated when we keep going round the mountain and this keeps happening to us, and we keep saying, this has got to stop, it can't continue. We've got to get back on the right road. Things have got to start working out for us. And no, God's timing is perfect. He knows what he's doing. He has an appointed time. There's no point getting frustrated. You know, Paul says to be content in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, therewith to be content. And Paul had learnt the secret of contentment. His outward circumstances did not affect his spiritual man. And Daniel was content. He knew that he was where God had placed him. And you might not want to admit that, but whatever comes to you goes past God first. And he gave his permission. He rubber stamped it and said, go and do it. So know that whatever's happening to you, God fully understands, he's well aware, and he has made a provision for it. You know, fear immobilizes you. It really does. I think Andrew felt somewhat immobilized on Wednesday. But Daniel was not immobilized. He was mobile in that situation. He was reaching out. He was looking to God. It didn't rock his foundation at all. And you know, although circumstances had brought him to a place of captivity, he didn't allow his circumstances to captivate his spirit. And that was the key. That was the secret with Daniel. He did not allow his circumstances to captivate his spirit. Verse 8. So he asked the palace master to allow him not to defile himself. Now God allowed Daniel to receive favour and compassion from the palace master. The palace master said to Daniel, "I'm afraid of my lord the king. He's appointed your food and your drink. If he should see you in poorer condition than the other men, the other young men of your own age, you would endanger my head with the king." Then Daniel asked the guard, whom the palace master had appointed over them, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. You can then compare our appearance with the appearance of the young men who eat the royal rations, and deal with your servants according to what you observe." You see, Daniel was being mobile. He was taking action. He was already beginning to work with God. You know, I'll never forget, we were in America once. This young girl came up to us and they got all these puzzles, metal puzzles that you have to work out to get them apart. And this young kid, she was about 12, wasn't she? And she was a little know-it-all, and she came in and she said to me, she just pulled one apart, you know, so easy. And she said to us, "Come on, work with me, work with me." And we just laughed at her, didn't we? She was a little whiz kid. But God's saying, "Come on, work with me, work with me." And so Daniel listened to God and he began to take small steps of faith. So, you know, whatever your adverse situation is, don't go for the full 9 yards all at once. It's a bit big. You might not jump that length all in one go, but let's take small steps, Christine. Eh? Let's start believing God for things we know we can reach. You know, don't take on more than you can chew, but don't be mobile. Don't be negative. Don't be standing still. Start making small steps towards your goal, and God will meet you at every one of them. And as he encourages you every small step, and soon those small steps become bigger steps and bigger steps, and you keep your eye on your goal, and then all of a sudden, "Oh, I'm walking on water, I'm walking on water. The job's done, it's finished. God's working." And that's how Daniel got through. At the end of 10 days, let's see what happened. Verse 14. So he agreed to this proposal and tested them for 10 days. Incidentally, 10 days means ordinal perfection. God's order of things. It was becoming perfect on the 10th day. God had ordered it. So he agreed to this proposal and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, it was observed that they were better and fatter than all the young men who had been eating the royal rations. I looked up the word fatter because I thought vegetables don't make you fat. We've been on a vegetable diet, haven't we, darling? And yes. I've lost about half a stone, I think. My trousers are suddenly big on me. Well, vegetables don't make you fat. They're healthy for you, Graham. Gets rid of your gut. And it's good. They're really good for you, aren't they? Yours has grown. What have you been? Well, you had chips on Friday at uni. Oh, yeah. All right, Ken. Prepared in the wrong way, cooked in the wrong way. Any excuse when you want to pig out? In another red rendering, it says they were more robust. So they were stronger and better looking and better complexion. Look good. There you go. Yes, see. As Ellen would say, what you like. Yeah. They were more robust. But you know, that wasn't due to their natural diet at all. Well, alone. I believe the natural diet was good for them. But it was not just due to the natural diet. It was due to the spiritual diet. It was God's favour. God had produced, through those vegetables and their faith, he'd made them more robust and stronger than their counterparts. Wow! You know, you'll shine like stars if you'll go God's way. You'll have the peace that passes all understanding. You'll not be sick. You'll not make your body sick. Because worry and anxiety, just make you, your body, it just kills your body. It really does kill your body. Absolutely no good. God says, I take care of you. I bear your burdens. I know where you're at. I know what I'm doing. Are you going to question me? What does Jeremiah say? Does the clay question the potter? Goodness me, who do we think we are? I wonder sometimes. Since I've been reading this, you know, well, let's just finish this. So the guard continued to withdraw their royal rations and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and skill in every aspect of literature and wisdom. Daniel also had insight into all visions and dreams. God was equipping Daniel there and then for a task ahead. God knows what he's doing. I learned out of this that what happened to Daniel was not about him. Can we grab this today? What is happening to you is not about you. It's about God. God has an overall higher purpose than what you see happening in your life. Yes, you are vitally important to God, but God has a higher purpose in what's happening. It's not about you. We can get very self-centred, very egocentric. And we are. I think the majority of us are. Do you know that? Because the minute it hurts, we squeal. And we get into natural attitudes. And I'm talking to myself. I do it. And God's saying, no. It's the spirit man that has to rule. We have to learn that the spirit man is higher than the natural and must come into play in every adverse situation or in any situation. You know, God was about to appoint Daniel to God was about to appoint Daniel to the most influential role in the most powerful nation on earth at that time. Do you realise that? He was in Israel, the tribe of Judah. He was comfortable. He was enjoying life. He was having a good relationship with God. And then God suddenly pulled the rug from underneath him, took him into an alien country, made him learn the practices of heathen gods, upset his world, turned him upside down. And God had a purpose in this. And Daniel, God wanted to know what Daniel's foundation was. And the trials that he puts you through, the adversity that he puts you through, he's watching. He wants to know what your foundation's made of. Before he can appoint you to a higher position, he needs to know your foundation is strong. Daniel's foundation was strong, extremely strong. And he was ready for the next step. You know, our neighbour at the top of the road, Aidan, he's having an extension. And he's having another room built above his garage. But they can't just put the next room on the garage because the foundations of the garage are not strong enough. So what do? They raise the garage to the ground. Then they get below ground. And they reinforce the foundation, and then they can rebuild. And they build higher. They put more weight on that foundation. It's able to take more weight. And it's the same with us. Before God moves you up to the next step, don't moan at the trial that you're in. God's ready to promote you. Rejoice! God's ready to promote you. He's ready for the next step for you. But first he wants to know that the foundation that he has placed in you is strong enough to hold the weight of what he's going to give you. Amen. It may be that God has to raise you to the ground. Not a pleasant thought. It may be necessary. But he'll only do it if it's necessary. He wants you strong for the next step. work with him. He knows what he's doing. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27 is about the wise and the foolish builders. God led me then on to thinking about foundations. And I'm going to read it from the Message because I like this. So you can close your eyes and listen. The Message. It's Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. These words I speak to you, they are not incidental additions to your life. They're not homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They're foundational words. Words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded. Listen to this, a tornado hit. But nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in, the waves came up, and it collapsed like a house of cards. It wasn't even a strong storm. A tornado hit the rock and it didn't move. This was just a storm. And it felt like a pack of cards. And that's what our lives are like. If we're only hearers of the word and not doers of the word, we've got to do what the word says. You know, we used to, Graham will remember this one. We're going to show his age now, Graham. And Andrew will remember it. We used to sing a song in Sunday school, and I ain't got a very good voice, but we used to sing this. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house upon the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house upon the sand went crash. Do you like that? You remember that, won't you? That's what it's... Eh? Do you remember it, Daniel? Did you used to sing it? Well, it's not so long ago then, is it? I mean, you're only a youngster. And I want to, you know, a word to you youngsters. Just listen to this word today. Because Daniel was taken and educated at high level. God had a reason for that. And God has a reason for educating you lot and taking you where he's taking you. He wants to promote you, but he wants you on a strong foundation. Don't ever forget what your parents teach you and what the word of God is the highest priority in your life. It was in Daniel's life, and it will be in your life, because it'll take you through anything. You know, we look at Proverbs 3. Help. I haven't got my Bible. Christine's been learning two verses out of Proverbs 3. She really blessed me the other day. She came and said that she started learning two verses. And the verses were, Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. That lovely. Well, further on in that chapter, has anybody got anky in their noses running? Tissue. Vegetables. I must be out in my nose is running. Don't you like me to a donkey to live? You might be a lover of horses, but I'm not a donkey. That's what Philip's name means. Yeah. Lover of horses. And I think Louise means a warrior maiden. Don't fight the wrong opponent, for goodness sake. What does yours mean, Lou? God's light. Wow. Praise God. Princess Warrior, she is. She's God's warrior. Oh, amen. What does Jonathan mean? Is it armor bearer or something like that? Can't remember. Must look it up. Right. From verse 13. Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. You two listening? For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies, and all the things you can desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honour. Wow! I mean, no ungodly kingdom can give you this, can it? Nah, nothing to compare. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold of her, and happy is everyone that retains her. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, and by understanding hath established the heavens. Now, can you get more knowledge and more wisdom than that? So God's understanding and God's wisdom is far superior to anything the world system can ever teach you. So just remember that that's the foundation, and everything else is secondary. I like this. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you shall walk in your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. Praise God. When you lie down, you'll not be afraid. Yea, you shall lie down and your sleep shall be sweet. Don't be afraid of sudden fear. Neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. Daniel wasn't afraid of it. For the Lord shall be your confidence, and he shall keep your foot from being taken. Wow! God gave me that years ago, and it was just as he said. I was in the middle of a storm, and God took me out, brought me out in victory. And that was the promise God gave me, and I reminded God of that promise every day. I said, God you said, and things didn't change for a while, but God you said, and that's what it was. Amen. It's interesting that in Psalm chapter 11 and verse 3 it says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Don't let the devil destroy your foundation. Because if he can destroy your foundation, he can destroy you, although God will have a plan. You what, love? No, don't dig up your own foundations. Keep them strong. And, you know, our foundation is built in Ephesians 2 and verse 20. It says that the foundations are built on the apostles and prophets. So, and a lot of churches nowadays have kicked out the apostle and the prophet, don't believe in them. But we're still, God has ordained apostles and prophets, and they are the foundation stone of the church, and we are built on those stones, and they will teach us the word of God, they will teach us the principles of the kingdom. We need to come under that teaching. That is extremely important for your spiritual growth and for your foundation, the teaching of the apostles and prophets in this time. And the word of God, you need the word of God in you daily. You need to talk to God. All this will strengthen your foundation. You will not be moved when adversity comes. And let me tell you this, get used to it right now. Adversity will come. It will come. I don't care whether you think it will or not, it will come. So you may as well get your foundation down now and make it strong. You'll have a much easier time with it. Amen. I was blessed with Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. These are the Beatitudes, aren't they? Beatitudes to have. And I'm reading from the Message, because I don't really understand them in this in that other translation, I must admit. So I thought I'll go to the Message to see what it says. It says, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God and his rule. Now, isn't that true? Where do you run when you get at the end of your rope? I know where I run. That's it. Sometimes we have to get to the end of our rope before we'll abandon it, won't we, and let go. And then God's underneath and around about, and he catches us. And whew, that was close, but we did it. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. When you lose your partner in life, God becomes your partner. He will embrace you. He will support you. He will love you. You will feel his arms around you. He'll be a husband to the widow. Amen. You're blessed. Is great gain. Contentment with godliness is great gain. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. His food and drink is the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. It says in have mercy in the other one. At the moment of being merciful, you will find mercy outstretched to you. You're blessed when you get in, when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out. Or speak lies about you or discredit you. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort. And they're uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even. For though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And know that you're in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always got into this kind of trouble. It's nothing new, is it? We're just blessed, whether things are good or things are not going so good. We're blessed. Amen, because it will have a good end. We have a destiny. God has said it. And I don't care what you do. You can run as far as you like. But God will set up a trap in that road and he'll turn you this way. And when you run down that dead end alley, he'll have a roadblock at the end of there and he'll turn you around and he'll send you back up this way. And oh boy, you know, God knows what he's doing. He has a plan. And I'd say to you parents too, if your kids are not performing the way you want them to perform, no pointing of the fingers, Luke, your kids are not performing the way you want them to perform, just think about the prophecies God's given over them. You know, they get to a certain age, in the teenage years, and yeah, you can tell them for so long, and you can go so far, but then they get beyond the teenage years, don't they, Jonathan? Are we there yet? No. Nearly. They get beyond the teenage years, and it's like they're old enough to know. And when you can't say a lot, Eloise, that's when you shut your mouth, you pray, and you say, God, you said, this prophecy over Louise says, God's going to take her, and she's going to nurse, and she's going to pray for those patients, and going to see healing over those patients, in Jesus' name. What you say God will be, Jonathan, God says you're his warrior, and you're going to be, because God said it. Don't fight it. God's going to do it, because we believe it. God answers prayers. He answered my parents' prayers. What they said didn't carry a lot of weight, but the prayers worked. Amen. So, if you remember nothing else, don't try and get out of the situation that you're in. Work with God. God's saying, work with me. Work with me. I always remember Bish saying this, the answer to the problem lies within the problem. Noah was saved from the water by the water. Was he not? So, the answer to your problem is within the problem. God has the answer. He will do it. He will show you what to do. He will take you step by step. But don't get into fear. Don't get into any form of negativity. Just stay positive. Stay strong. Let God know there's a strong foundation there, and very speedily he'll add the next deck. He'll promote you, he'll place you where he wants you to be, because you're ready. Are you ready for what God's got next for you? Or are you going to go around the mountain again? Are you going to let him raise you to the ground? No, I'm not. I'm going to say, God, I'm going to be your candidate. I'm ready. When promotion comes, I'm going to show you I've got a strong foundation. And it's over to him. Amen.
A few things today. One of the things that really jumped out to me was when Grace said that Daniel and his three friends were dragged out of their country, and they were taken as slaves, and they were made initially to work, but then they were chosen. And I want to say to you people, you've come out from your own country. But God has a plan for you. Look at the Word of God and see what God did for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Hallelujah. There was a fiery furnace. There was a lion's den. Hallelujah. But in every one of those situations, God brought deliverance. And he set them free. And the word is that for you today. God has brought you to England for such a time as this. And the word from the Lord to you is, do not waste the opportunity that God is giving to you. Don't look at your situation and say things are tough and things are difficult, but look at the situation and God has brought me here for a purpose and a plan that you might reach the lives of other men and women from your own countries and lead them into the kingdom of God and into the things of God, and that you will be a witness and a testimony that will point people to Jesus. Hallelujah. That is what God is calling you to. Praise the Lord. Whilst Grace was speaking, God gave me a word for Josephine. Josephine, what do you see on that paper? What do you see?
say that it's like a point on the paper.
That's what you see. Right, okay. Do you see nothing else? What do you see? What's in my hand? A paper with a black mark on it. Okay. Now then, what the Lord is saying to me and wants to say to you is that there is more white paper than there is black. And I'm not talking about colour, but I'm talking about what you are seeing about yourself. You are seeing in your own life things that are dark and dismal and black, and yet there are greater things in your life, God is saying, that it has the light of God, that has the hand of God on them. Amen? But your problem, you focus on the small thing. We all do. You're not the only one. But God is saying to you today, begin to change your focus. Begin to adjust your focus. Stop looking at the things that are there to trouble you, and begin to look that God has made you righteous. God has made you holy. God has made you to rejoice in Him. God has not made you to be depressed. God has not made you to be despondent. But God has given you a spirit of praise. And God has given you a coat of righteousness. And God is giving to you healing and wholeness and strength. And God is taking away the guilt that is in your life. And the guilt is not because of you. The guilt is because of others. And God is saying to you to this day that you will rise above that situation. You will rise above those circumstances. God is not judging you. God has set you free. God has already passed judgment over you and said that you are free, and you are free indeed, and that you are innocent, and His blood has been shed for you to make you clean and holy.
Amen?
Amen? So begin to rejoice and begin to look at yourself and begin to say, thank God you have made me clean. You have made me holy, and I shall walk in that light, and I shall walk in that understanding, and I shall declare that in my life, and my God, my Jesus, my Lord shall be my healer.
Amen.
Amen.
Josephine, I got this word before Grace started to speak. This is for you. I will be the courage that you need. I will be your strength. I will be your place of safety. I will be your rock. I have called you my daughter from the place where you are, and I will take you out of the locked fortress and out of the unclimbable walls into freedom. Step by step, I will bring you out, each time bringing you into victory. Success after success you will enjoy. Never look back, but keep your eyes fixed on me, my precious one, and you will never cease to rejoice from this day forth.
Now Josephine, that is on tape. Okay, you see them at the end, and they'll get you a copy of that tape, and you listen to that again and again and again, and declare that over your own life and begin to rejoice in that. Don't weep about it, rejoice about it. I know it's like, oh, God's speaking to me, God loves me, and we are moved emotionally by that, and that's good. But now there's a time when you will listen to that and you begin to rejoice, and the joy of the Lord shall be your strength. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Now then, just we're going to sing as well, and